Ready to unlock your true potential and manifest the life of your dreams? Then I've got something super special just for you. Our mind-blowing self-love and manifestation courses. Picture this, a journey of self-discovery where you'll find a deep well of self-love and acceptance. Say goodbye to self-doubt and hello to unshakable confidence. Our courses are designed to help you embrace your worthiness and tap into the incredible power of self-love. But that's not all. We'll also dive deep into the transformative world of manifestations. You'll learn proven tools and techniques and strategies to align your thoughts, beliefs, and actions with your wildest dreams. So get ready to create the success, happiness, love, and abundance that you deserve. So what are you waiting for? Head over to candywashington.com/courses to get started. Again, that's candywashington.com/courses. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Soft Life with me, Candy Washington. So before we dive into today's episode, which will be a very inspiring and also empowering conversation with Dominique Clifton, don't forget that if you need additional support, you can always grab one of our courses down below. Also, be sure to join us on our Patreon community, get our free self-love guide, and also shop our merch. We have The Soft Life merch that has launched, so be sure to go and grab that as well. And be sure to like, rate, subscribe, and share, because your journey to self-love is always better with a little bit of support. So with that, let's dive in. So let's welcome Dominique Clifton. She is the founder of Move and Still, which is a mission-driven wellness company that offers rest, stress management, and trauma recovery services using body-centered approaches to healing. So welcome, Dominique. Do you want to share with us a little bit more about yourself and really what led you to doing the work that you do?
Sure. So first off, Candy, thank you so much for having me. And I loved your introduction. I just had to say that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So again, for everyone listening or watching, I'm Dominique Clifton, and I'm the founder of Move and Still. I am Baltimore-based, and I also recently published my first book. It's called Hold Space to Heal, and I'm also really excited about that. And I guess a little bit about my journey. So today, as you stated, I work and focus predominantly on managing stress, recovering from trauma, but taking a more somatic approach. And so what that means is really focusing on the body and the ways that the body holds stress and trauma, and really educating people about why it's important to bring the body into the healing process. And I got started doing this work after really working to heal myself. So I grew up with a lot of unaddressed childhood trauma that was really just never talked about in my household and never really addressed at all. Mm-hmm. And so I just like suppressed a lot, bottled a lot of things and held on to it for a long time. And although I wasn't thinking about it consciously, it was still impacting me subconsciously in the ways that I was showing up and really navigating throughout the world. And when I got pregnant with my first daughter, which was back in 2016, I started feeling called to meditate and to be still, to really like go inward. And I've been on the journey. The journey has definitely gone deeper since 2020, but I've been on the journey for about 7 years. And I started doing this work really after seeing the transformation that came about in my own life and wanting to really share this with other folks. But the focus specifically on stress and trauma came as a result of my work as a wellness coach. So I used to be a nutrition and wellness coach, and I used to support women who wanted to lose weight, manage weight, live healthier. And they were working to balance their health and they're prioritizing themselves in the midst of being moms and wives and or partners, you know, careers, school, all of these things. So they were busy. They had a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And this was also in the midst of the pandemic. So life was crazy, like, you know, for all of us. And everyone was stressed, overwhelmed, dealing with burnout, lots of anxiety. And none of my clients knew how to manage it. And I, as a coach at that time, didn't know what to do to support them. And so I started doing research to better understand stress and burnout to help, you know, empower my clients, because the way that the body responds, stress levels, cortisol levels are directly correlated to weight loss. And if you're stressed, your body's not going to lose weight the way that you want it to. And so for me, it wasn't just about giving my clients a meal plan and saying, hey, like, go do these exercises and eat this healthy food. It was also like, hey, we got to like turn off the fire, or, you know, put out the fire that's going on in your body right now with your stress levels. And I'll wrap up by saying that the more research that I did about stress and trauma and just understanding it, the more I realized that everything that we see in our society from, you know, violence, crime, addiction, substance use and abuse, all of those things are related to stress and trauma, our levels of disease and dis-ease and illness. And so I think the more that I learned about stress and trauma and just the ways that it manifests in all of us differently, I really wanted to scream from the mountaintops and like tell everyone, hey, y'all, we got a problem. Like, we need to do something about our stress levels. And so that is literally what made me pivot and, you know, take a different direction and start moving still.
Absolutely. That's great. I have so many questions that came up.
Sorry, right now. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So first, my first question is, for those of us who may be listening or watching who don't know what somatic exercise or somatic healing or the somatic approach is, can you explain what that is for us?
Yes. So I usually interchange the word somatic with body-centered approaches. Okay. And that's literally what it is. So soma is a Greek word for body, like literally somatic. The word soma is it means body. And what it means is, a lot of times, especially in our society, when we think about healing and recovery, we oftentimes think about something like talk therapy. And especially as millennials, I'm looking at you and like assuming that's where you fall. I'm in that bucket. Or maybe it's, you know, Gen Z, the generation under. But we're into therapy. Like, we are doing it. You know, we're talking our problems out. Which is better than a lot of the older generations, because they just kind of like, you know, bottle things down and didn't really talk about things much. So we're talking about things. We're working through. We're processing things. But a lot of us don't realize that stress and trauma are stored in the body. And so talk therapy alone is not enough. So if you have a therapist, that's great. I have a therapist. There's, you know, my family members have therapists. However, you have to do things to help your body release that stress and trauma in addition to that processing, which is really what therapy helps you to do. Because just like understanding the things that you are living through or live through, it doesn't help your body to release the stress and trauma. And so somatic practices or modalities like meditation and breath work, yoga, like these are just some examples of somatic practices, things that you can do to really heal the body as you're also working on healing the mind. And the reason for that, the last thing I'll say, is that the mind and body are connected. And so if we just focus on the mind, we're leaving like this whole half of the equation out.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the body keeps the score. That's like what's coming up for me, because your body will naturally will have its own natural responses. Sometimes that's like insomnia, you can't sleep, or you sleep too much, or you get, you know, headaches or ulcers or migraines, or just you grind your teeth at night. Like, your body is trying to release that stress and that tension in any way that it can. You know, how like depression or anxiety or trauma will manifest differently within the body. And I agree with you, you know, like you said, it's like a really holistic approach to healing. You know, talk therapy, you can heal the mind, you know, you can do emotional therapy, maybe it's art therapy, but then also doing that body therapy as well. And a lot of people do that through like you said, like the breath work and the meditation and the yoga, and even like Pilates can like pour into that. But some people do it through like other exercises. They're like, you know, like going for a run or going to the gym, you know, and they're getting it and they're getting that stress out and they're healing that way. But I think it's really great what you're doing, because you're doing it in such an intentional way. You know, it's like I'm connecting my mind and my body in an intentional way to heal the trauma, to release the stress. And then I love what you're talking about, how when you have that stress and trauma in your body, it's hard to like lose weight or to transform yourself because that stress is in there. And I talk about this a lot, because usually when people approach like losing weight or transforming themselves, it's from a negative place, that negative self-talk. It's like, well, I hate my body, so I want to lose weight. And how stressful is that? And usually that's a trauma response or a conditioning response or societal response, right? That I hate my body because it doesn't look this particular way. And so you're putting that added stress on your body, but you really should shift the mindset, because like you said, the body and the mind are connected. And the mindset isn't, I hate myself, therefore I want to, you know, lose weight. It's no, I love myself, therefore I want to take care of myself. And a natural byproduct of taking care of yourself is your body tends to lose excess weight. It gets de-stressed. It gets, it becomes the highest version of what it is supposed to be. So when you come from a place of loving yourself or healing yourself, your body and your mind will naturally become its highest version. But like you said, when you come from a place of stress or from self-hate, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And so what are some signs and symptoms that, you know, your body and your subconscious mind is stressed out? You know, what are some signs that your body and your mind is holding on to trauma, whether it's childhood trauma or current trauma? You know, what are some things we can look for? Because sometimes we are stressed out, we are burnt out, our body is holding on to trauma, but it's so normalized that we don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. So what are some signs that we can look out for?
Yeah, so the first thing I want to say is that we all respond to stress differently. And so obviously, mm-hmm. like the things that I'm sharing are not going to be an all-inclusive list. But whenever I do workshops, I ask people that question for themselves, because we might not be able to fully understand like what it looks like for us to rid our bodies of the things that we're holding on to in a way that we get rid of them. But everyone is able to, I won't say everyone, because a lot of times for folks that have experienced like a lot of trauma, they can be disconnected from their bodies. But a lot of us have the ability to like pause, tune into how we feel, and really name these things for ourselves. The challenge is that we don't typically do that because we're moving so fast, we're so busy that we just kind of like push things off and like muscle through, and we'll get to it later. And so I just, as I'm listing out some symptoms, I want people to just think about like for themselves, you know, like how does my body try to communicate with me? Because that's what stress is. It's a physical response to something that happens emotionally or to a trigger. It can come, you know, stress can be internal from us, or it can be external from something, people, work, you know, circumstances, but our bodies respond to that physically. And so some of the ways that your body are going to communicate to you, you already said one, like not sleeping can be related to mental health. It can definitely be related to stress. Your muscles might feel tight or tense. A lot of times when I hold like sessions or workshops, and especially when I'm doing breathwork and yoga, people will always say after the fact that once they paused and started doing breathwork, they realized how much tension they were storing in their neck or maybe their shoulders. So we store a lot of stress. We store a lot of trauma in our like upper body area, and you can literally feel like tightness in your muscles. Even something like a sore back. So like our root chakra is at the base of our spine, right where the bottom half of our body meets the top part at that base of the spine. And back problems can also be associated with stress levels. And so if you've had a sore back and you're maybe just putting on a heating pad and kind of trying to like fix the symptom of it, that can be related to stored stress and trauma. The hips, you know, tight hips, hip pain, right there in that hip flexor muscle, that can be an indication specifically of like trauma or just dealing with a lot of heavy emotions. Irritability. So our mood is a big one for me. Like I can always tell how I'm feeling based on my mood. If I'm feeling stressed and overwhelmed, my level of patience decreases, my level of just being able to tolerate people, right? Decreases. Yeah. I'm a mom. And so I'm responding in ways that I don't feel good about when I'm stressed. And so your mood is also an indicator. Overeating, undereating, turning to substances. So whether that's food, whether that's, you know, however you cope, all the unhealthy ways that we typically cope. Some people might overshop. Some people might turn to drinking or smoking and like all of these things. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But when you're doing it to suppress emotions, that's when it becomes a problem. And so for me as a coach, it was like, well, can we look at the reasons that you're emotionally eating? Because what you're doing is trying to feed these emotions. So like, what are the emotions that are coming up for you right now? Also, there are things like, so the thing about the way that our body works, and I'll wrap up with this, is that when we are facing stress, our bodies are in a state of fight or flight, which essentially means that they are working because they think that there's a threat. It's a threat to our lives. And so our body is trying to work to figure out like how to keep us alive, right? And get us away from this threat. The reality is that in our modern day society, we're being triggered by stress and trauma, or stress particularly every single day, from children, you know, partners, parents, colleagues and coworkers, traffic, finances, like there's just so many things. And so our bodies are constantly responding to these things like back to back to back. Whereas in the old days, it might've just been like a saber-toothed tiger. And that was like your big stress level. And you had that thing happen. We're dealing with stress every single day. And what that means is that when we live in a perpetual state of stress, right? Or like we're dealing with so much trauma that we haven't addressed, our bodies are constantly like fighting those things off. What happens is like your immune system is going to weaken now because all of your energy is going to, you know, fighting off these ongoing threats. Your reproductive system might change, and like, you know, you might have an issue getting pregnant or staying pregnant, like all of these things, because certain organs are going to shift their priority to the stress as opposed to digestion, you know, reproduction, things of that nature. And so constipation, like all of those things that we typically, again, treat the symptoms of by just taking a Metamucil, or if we have a headache, we're popping a headache pill. Like those are all signs that things are off in your body. body if they're happening ongoing and constantly. And those are ways that your body is communicating to you like, hey, something is off. So that was a long answer, but those are just some of the ways.
No, it's okay. We're here to learn from you. It's fine. I agree with like everything that you said, especially like tapping into your own authenticity of what it, how does stress show up for me? Mm-hmm. You know, how does my body react to it? How does my mind react to it? But I do think the root of all of it is just like you said, it's being disconnected from self. Yeah. Because all of those symptoms, however it shows up, whether you sleep too much or don't sleep enough, overeat or undereat, being snappy, being irritable, being stressed out, it's all stems from a disconnection from self, mm-hmm. from not being present, from not being within, and from not being mindful. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like one of the hallmark signs of like being stressed or burned out or holding trauma is that you feel separate from yourself, from your mm-hmm. higher self. I think that separation is what manifests in all of those things, because it's really trying to call you back to self, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, come home to self, focus on self, go within, like heal yourself. Right.
Yeah.
Then, what also came up when you were talking is, so if someone sees themselves in what you're saying, like what's the first thing that they should do? If they're like, you know what, I think I am burned out. I do think I'm stressed. I do think that, you know, I'm holding on to some trauma. You know, if they're coming to that awareness or that realization, what's like some of the first steps they can take? But before that, what came up for me when you're talking as well, when you're like, oh, you know, there's like in the past, like a saber-toothed tiger, and now we're in fight or flight. But it's even more present than that. It's even like when you were a child and like your dad yelled at you and mm-hmm. you felt unsafe, or your mother wasn't emotionally available and you felt unsafe. Mm-hmm. Because even as children, we have those minds where these are the people who are meant to protect us. Mm-hmm. And it literally is, as children, you know, life or death. That's why it's called like, that's why we have the term like survival mode. Mm-hmm. So it's not even just like the saber-toothed tiger. It's like, when I was little and I felt that my mother wasn't available or my father wasn't available or the people that were supposed to love and protect me weren't there to love and protect me, in my mind, I felt unsafe. Mm-hmm. I felt in danger. And so now as an adult, when I get that same feeling, even though it's no longer that way, mm-hmm. I'm reliving that feeling. And that's what causes the trauma to activate. That's what causes the stress to come in. That's what causes the fight or flight, because I'm reliving that feeling mm-hmm. that reminds me of when I was unsafe. Mm. So what are some of the tools?
I'm just holding space like for so many. Yeah. Reasons, I will just say that like I'm reading this book right now, listening on Audible, this book right now. It's called Raising Good Humans. I'm a mom of two girls, and it's for any parents, like you have to listen to this book. And it's such a good book because it talks about literally what you were just saying, like how as parents, we like everything that happens, whether it's something physical or like the way that our emotions show up, they are there to like show us where we need to work on, like what we need to work on, right? Like they are communicating to us, this is still something that's unresolved that you need to handle. And so a lot of times, like we are responding to this present day thing, but we're being triggered by, like you said, something that happened in the past. And like, this is the way that our bodies have learned to respond to this. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily feel good, but it's like, when this happened in the past, like I did not feel safe or in control. And so anytime I feel triggered in that way, even if it's not my parents, like I'm now the parent, my children are triggering me, but I'm still responding in a way that I want to like fight or flee or whatever these things are. And it was just really eye-opening for me because it talks about how like literally as adults, and I was like, wow, I've never looked at it this way, but how we throw adult temper tantrums, like, and we look at our kids and we're going off on them and we're yelling and we're like trying to exert this power, but it's literally I'm 35, it's a 35-year-old temper tantrum, right? And so it's coming up from like unresolved stuff that they are triggering that I've just not dealt with since I was a child. And now like they are the threat. And so I just appreciate you for saying that, because that book, as I'm listening, it's been shifting my focus on so many things. But what you said is true. Like it might be, your mind might be connecting something that's happening today to something that happened years ago. And if you don't honor that and like work through that, you'll just keep showing up in ways that don't feel good to you. Cause we know like when we are doing things that don't feel in alignment with how we want to show up. But it takes work to like go and excavate and like dig those things up and allow yourself to feel and then release those emotions.
100%. And what came up for me when you were talking was, again, it's that mind-body connection, right? Because our body doesn't have words. Our body has feelings, right? So when you feel that same feeling of I'm not safe. I'm being criticized. I'm going to be left. I'm going to be abandoned. This person is disrespecting me. When you get that same feeling in your body, that's when you get that trauma response. That's when you get that trigger. That's when you get that stress and you come out with it, because that's how your body communicates, is through feeling. But the way that we can, you know, shift and heal that is through our mind, because our mind is what we have, our thoughts. And that's what we have the power. So we can say, okay, you know what? I feel really unsafe in this situation, but I can tell myself, you know what, Candy, you're safe. Mm-hmm. It is safe. You know, there is no threat. You can breathe through this. You know, you have your tools. You know, you can talk this out. You can go for a walk. You can do the somatic body centered stuff. You can, you know, take a nap. You can do whatever. You can now soothe yourself through the feeling, because, you know, like I said, your body doesn't have words, your body has feelings. Yeah. And like you're talking about being a parent, I was talking with like one of my girlfriends, and she was just like going off about some guy who, like, he texted me this, should I text him this, and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, girl, can you just like stop? Mm. I'm like, you're projecting all of this crap onto this guy who's literally is really great and isn't doing anything. It's just, you feel like if he doesn't text you back in this arbitrary time, that he's going to leave you. And that's rooted in you feeling that you aren't good enough. Mm-hmm. And you got that, you know, mindset or belief as a child. Mm-hmm. Something in your childhood made you believe that you weren't good enough. So now you're an adult in a relationship, and because this guy doesn't text you back in 20 minutes, mm-hmm. now you think that he's going to leave you, because you haven't healed your abandonment wound. Oof. All it really means is he just hasn't texted you back yet in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But like spiraling, like, do you think he is dating somebody else? Do you think there's another girl? Do you think he lost interest? I'm like, oh my God, can you calm down?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that you share that, because I think that our closest relationships are oftentimes indicators of where we need to work. And like you said, like going to like kind of, you have to dig up, like you got to dig up those emotions and get to, like you said, what are the triggers? Like, what is the emotion or like the memory that is associated with a certain feeling and is causing me to feel this way? And so I think that as challenging as it is to have a partner or to be in a committed relationship or, you know, to have children, like it's such a blessing also, because it's such mm-hmm. It reveals to us like this still needs love and attention and healing. And it takes courage, though, to sit in your shit. I hope I can say that here.
Yeah, you can.
It takes courage. Like a lot of times it's easy to, and we see this a lot, I think, in relationships. So to tie up what you just said, mm-hmm. we'll have an issue with someone, right? Like a person, and we're showing up a certain way and they're responding to that certain way. And then we go on to a new partner when that doesn't work. And then it's the same type of pattern. And yeah. then it's like, what is the common denominator here? Like you are the common denominator, right? Like you have issues that are unresolved, and it's not going to another person that's going to fix it. It's you really sitting with your stuff and like letting yourself work through it. That's going to resolve it. And then, right, like when you get into another relationship, it'll be different because you've worked on your issues. But a lot of times we don't do that. Like we distract ourselves and just exactly. go on to the next thing, because it's hard. Like healing.
It is hard. It's
one of the hardest things I've ever signed up for. And sometimes I joke and say, had a perspective back then of what I'd have to go through, I might have not said yes to the calling, because it's hard. It's very hard.
Exactly. And it's so much easier to blame external, you know, it's my kids are acting up. It's my crappy boyfriend. It's my evil boss. You know, it's always easier to blame other people than to look in the mirror and say, you know what, wherever I go, there I am. Mm-hmm. Because you're showing up as yourself in every single situation. Yes. So if you're getting the same result, it's because that's what you're putting in, you know, and really looking at yourself and taking true accountability for, well, how am I actually showing up for myself, for other people in this world? Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, it's really tough. But once you get past that hump, it is the most freeing and empowering thing in the world, mm-hmm. because then you can say, actually, if I'm actually accountable for how my relationships go, for how things turn out for me, that's not to me to blame myself or to criticize or to judge myself. But that is for me to say, I have the power to determine my life. Mm-hmm. You know, am I going to do the work? Am I going to heal? Am I going to show up differently? Am I going to address my triggers? Am I going to work through my trauma, you know, instead of blaming everybody else for it? That was actually what happened to me. So I was so right out of college, I went to New York and I was working and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do corporate America. Like, this just like, isn't it for me. And I was like promoted, but I was like, you know, writing and podcasting and doing all my creative stuff on the side. And I was like, all right, you know what? I need to make a choice. Am I going to continue this path or this other path? And I was like, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to do content creation. And I moved to LA. But then when I moved to LA, I was still burned out. I was still having trouble, you know, speaking up for myself, for having being confident, for asking for rates, for having boundaries with people. And then I was like, well, it's not the environment that I'm in. I went from corporate to working for myself. It's me. Because I showed up as myself in corporate America, and now I'm showing up as myself working for myself. So the same exact problems came up because just because the environment changed, I didn't change. And so until I learned to heal my own codependency, you know, why do you people please? Why can't you not say no? Why don't you have boundaries? Why do you always say yes to people? You know, like, why do you think you have to prove your worth and value? Because for me, I got my worth and value. It was all performance based.
Doing,
being the best, doing, showing, proving, right? Because I felt if I'm valuable to you, then you won't leave me. Then I'm proving my value. And I had to do my own internal work to say, no, that's complete bullshit. I am intrinsically worthy and valuable. Simply because I exist, I am enough. So just because I be, that is enough. So I don't have to show you. I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to do anything. My existence is enough. And that was a big shift for me. And then I stopped people pleasing. I got really good boundaries. My relationships got better. I got better. My life got better. But it wasn't because anything outside of me changed. It was because who I was and how I showed up for myself changed.
Oof. Can we, is there a mic to be dropped here somewhere? Cause girl, that was beautiful. And I will just say too, like, one of the shifts that I have made in the last year and a half is I used to teach people about burnout and give all these strategies to managing stress and burnout. But you really have to go deeper. We can treat the symptoms of the things, but it's like, you got to get to, why am I constantly ending up back at this state of burnout? Or like, why am I constantly stressed out? My therapist helped me to realize that. Like, I was diagnosed, at the top of 21, I think? I don't know. I was diagnosed with high functioning trauma, which I had never heard of, but it was essentially like overachieving to quiet the voice inside of me that's telling me I'm not good enough. And so I'm showing up every day and working like a crazy lady to quiet the voice, right? That's in me that's saying, you got to do more. You got to do more to like prove your worth. And you know, you're not ready yet. So you got to take this course, this certification, and do this thing.
Yep.
And that was the first time that I realized, like, oh, like, this is why I'm pushing so hard and like constantly getting back to the place of burnout. And I will be completely honest and say that this is an ongoing like struggle, right? That I'm dealing with myself. It's not something that I've completely resolved, but I have a greater level of awareness. But I can do all the things. Like, I can do all of the preventative measures. But if I'm continuing overly filling my plate and just like doing too much, I'm going to be back at that space of burnout. And so for a lot of people, like, if you are constantly feeling overwhelmed and burned out, and like there's so much on your calendar, there's so much that you're balancing, sure, you can do some breath work or meditation and those things will help you, right? But you really have to look out, like, why do I feel like I got to max out my schedule and my plate, and be okay with taking some things off your plate, be okay with, you know, not overcommitting, be okay with saying no, like you were saying, and not worrying about what people are going to think, letting go of things that are not serving you, that you don't feel good about. And then that is really what's going to take care of the burnout levels. Like, that's what's going to help to bring the stress down. And so I think it's a both and. Like, I think we can do the somatic practices, but I think we also have to get real with ourselves and really look at like what is driving us to work as hard as we do, especially in the society that we live in today. Like, we're all trying to keep up, right, with social media and all the things, and like everybody's exhausted and trying to keep up.
And I think when it comes to like the high functioning trauma, and even like my own, when I used to be super codependent, another thing I learned was that I had to heal my feminine energy. You know, because I think when you grow up in trauma, particularly as women, we are so heavy in our masculine because we have to, because we're so focused on survival. We're so focused on protecting. We're so focused on, I need to prove my value so that I can survive in this situation. You know, I have to look outside of myself to make sure like everyone else is okay, because if everybody else is okay, then I know I'll be okay, right? And so we get so heavy in our masculine that then we grow up to be women who are so disconnected from our feminine. Mm. And our feminine energy is the energy that says, you can receive, you can relax, you can let go, you can be. Things can come to you easily. You can be within your flow, you know, where the masculine energy is more. And it's not like male or female. It's not gender. It's aura. It's essence, right? Because we all have masculine and we all have feminine. Mm-hmm. But the masculine energy is the one that says, I have to do. It's action. If I don't do, I don't get, right? But the feminine energy says, no, you can be soft. You can receive. You can go inward. So I grew up with a single mom. And so she was always in her masculine because she was providing for us and my family. So what I saw was a woman who was in her masculine. I didn't have the model, and no judgment to her. My mom's amazing, beautiful, best friend woman in the world. But as a child, I did not see a woman who was fully in a healthy feminine energy. Mm-hmm. So what I mirrored was her in her masculinity. Mm-hmm. So that's what I grew up to be. I grew up to be a woman. And it hasn't, and again, it's not like effeminate, like it's not about wearing dresses or your hair or lipstick or none of that. It's all energetic. It's how you show up. It's who you are in your essence. So I grew up to be a woman who was fully in her masculine. So everything that I was doing was action-based, performance-based, do. And then I had to learn how to heal my feminine energy where it was like, no, Candy, you get to relax. You get to receive. You get to be taken care of. Things get to be easy. It gets to be easy. You know, things get to come to you. Things like, think like, not to be like gross or anything, but even think about a woman's menstrual. Yeah. We call it the flow. You know, we are vessels. We are meant to live in ease. We're meant to live in softness. That's who we're meant to be. So I had to heal my feminine energy. And one way you heal that, it's just like you were saying, like you get connected back to self. You connect back to your body. You take moments of meditation. You talk to someone. You know, you connect to who you are. You do things to heal your burnout and to heal your stress and to heal your trauma. So then you can step into the essence of who you were always meant to be, which is this amazing being that gets to receive. Mm.
I totally relate to everything that you're saying, because I also grew up in a house with a single mother, you know, a Black mama on top of it. And so there's all the like things that come with that. And I will say that, like, even now my mom is very much so still a doer, and like, I just still see her going. And as a mom myself now, there's so much unlearning that I'm going through, because it's like, I was repeating that with my children and not even realizing it. I think that sometimes moms are probably the most masculine women you will ever meet, because there's so much that you have to get done, right? Like, you were just talking about that with your mom. Like, it's literally people's survivals. And that can be a lot of pressure. Not all the time, but that can be a lot of pressure. But especially as a single parent, like, that's a lot, because it's all on you. You can't afford to mess up, right? Like, you can't afford to drop the ball. And so that level of pressure that you maintain is like, I got to get stuff done. Like, I got to be on it. However, right, like, what it is perpetuating that cycle. And like, especially when you're raising girls, like, they see that they grow up the same way. And so literally right now, I was just soaking in everything you were saying, because I keep having to come back to like healing the feminine energy. And like, it's an ongoing process. I remember one time in therapy being like, oh my God, like, when does it end? Like, when do I stop needing to heal? And my therapist was like, girl, she's a Black woman. She's like, girl, it's like a spiral staircase, case. You just keep going up. And I'm like, like, it's exhausting. But it's also beautiful, because I think that, like, where I am now, I think sometimes you got to revisit things that you have done previously. Like, you might have worked on something before and you find yourself back at that thing, but it's like a deeper layer of it. Like, we're constantly digging and excavating and like finding new versions of, or not finding new, finding different versions of ourselves, like pieces of ourselves that need to be mended. And so I'm literally back now, like, working on the feminine energy, because again, like, I was realizing the ways that I was constantly in go mode and like trying to do things, and like how that was impacting my girls. And so I totally agree with everything that you were just saying. And like, it's a lot, you know, when it comes to healing, it's a lot that you have to do to really like repair that energy.
No, 100%. And it is, I mean, it, there's no end there. It's, it's the journey, you know, as healed as you can be, as whole as you can be, we're still going to have moments where we're triggered. Yeah. We're still going to have moments where we sort of go back to our old default system. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a part of this human experience. Mm-hmm. But I think the trick is, at least for me in my healing journey, is now I'm able to meet those moments with such a greater level of self-compassion and grace.
Yeah.
Instead of self-criticism and judgment. Mm-hmm. Well, like, you're so healed, why are you still doing this? Or you know better, or like, what, like judging, you know, yourself, where you can say, well, you know what, Candy, it's okay that you burned out. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It happens sometimes. Now we're just going to reset. It's okay. Mm-hmm. How can you lovingly hold space for yourself right now? Or you made a mistake. You know what? You're human. It's okay. You don't have to be perfect, right? You know, so really embracing my own humanity, that I get to mess up. I get to make mistakes. I get to not to be perfect because I'm a human being.
Yeah.
And all of that perfectionism was nothing but a trauma response. Yeah. That's all it was. Because perfection is an illusion. No one's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And when I learned to embrace my own humanity, that I get to fuck up. I get to not get it right. I get to make mistakes. I get to be a human in this world. That's when I really realized, oh, wow, that's the beauty of this life. That I get to feel all of the emotions. I used to think I could only be happy. But again, that's delusion and that's numbing and that's denial. Yeah. You know, if I'm not willing to embrace the sadness or the not good parts or the depression or the anxiety or whatever it is, then I'm not authentically embracing the joy and the happiness and the peace as well. Because you can't numb one thing without numbing all of that. Ooh.
Yes.
You know, and yes. The beauty of being in this world is that I get to experience every single emotion and feeling that is available to me as a human being. But because I've done the work, I know that I can trust myself that at the end of it, I will be okay.
Oof.
I can be angry in this moment without becoming an angry person.
Mm.
And that was always my fear. Oh, if I get angry, then I'll become this angry person. Mm. But no, I can say, you know what? I'm really pissed off. You disrespected me. What you said wasn't okay. And that's not good. I'm going to check you right now and we're going to leave it here. I'm going to do it in a respectful way. Yeah. And I get to be angry. I get to be a human being in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also noticed how it was affecting my female friendships, how I was people pleasing in them. And then I got to the point where I was just like, no, my friendship is, that is a blessing in your life. So if I'm going to bless you, you're going to have to bless me right back. Yeah. We're going to be a blessing to each other. Mm. And so I had to reevaluate my friendships, and not because my friends were bad people. It was just, they were accustomed to the old version of me.
Mm.
And sometimes when you reintroduce yourself, who is now loving, who is now self-compassionate, who is now no longer people-pleasing, who is being her authentic self. Sometimes that doesn't work for people.
Mm-hmm.
It's disturbing what they got from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not talked about enough in your healing journey that you're going to lose people. You'll lose family. You'll lose friends. You'll lose boyfriends and girlfriends, sometimes husbands and wives. And that's okay. It might be tough, but it's time to stop sacrificing the joy of the life you could have to placate to other people.
This conversation is so timely. I say that all the time. I say all the time, like, you have to be willing to lose something to go on some things, like multiple things to go on the journey. And that has, I will say, been one of the hardest parts for me, is the amount of loss that has come with elevating. Like, it has not been easy. And I've, you know, at this point I will speak openly and say, like, not as just a result of my healing journey, but I am right now in the middle of a separation from my partner. Like, because, you know, we've just changed. Like, you know, we've changed, I've changed, like, we've grown differently. And it's hard, right, to, like, to sit with and to be in that. But it's also, like you said, just a part of the human experience of recognizing that, like, everyone is on their own journeys, and, like, everyone is not going to be going at the pace that you're going, or, like, you know, you're in your own lane.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. It is hard when you lose people, whether it's, you know, a loved one or a friend, like, when you lose people that you care about. But you're right. People get used to knowing you for a certain version of yourself, and they cannot always handle, right? Like, I think of it as letting your light shine. Like, people can't always handle that, like, brighter version of yourself, because they've only known you as the trauma version, or the victim version, or, you know, the version that doesn't take up space. And so when you do step into your authenticity, everyone ain't gonna be able to handle it, and everybody ain't gonna be able to go with you on the journey. And so for people that are in the midst of that, I will say that, you know, it can be hard because then it starts to feel like you're alone in the journey, right? And it doesn't always feel worth it when you start to lose people. But just know, like, for anyone listening who has experienced that or maybe like in the midst of experiencing that like you are not alone. Like, there are a lot of us that are saying yes to the remembering process and the releasing process. And in the midst of that, like, sometimes you do have to release people and, you know, people that you care about deeply.
100%. Like, I don't even like to say lost friends. I like to say I lovingly let go of people that no longer served me, because in a part of my healing journey was I became self-centric. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I was no longer in service of, I was in service of myself. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't in a narcissistic or selfish way. You know, it was none of that. It was literally in, this is the one life that God has given me. And the best way for me to show appreciation to it is to take care of it.
Yeah.
So I need to learn how to take care of myself first, the best, and the most. And one of my mantras is, my well-being is my first and best priority. Mm. My own well-being. Mm. And I think I did an episode on this a couple weeks ago, and I got a lot of DMs about it. They're like, oh, it was such a good episode. On the toxic lie about self-care. Mm-hmm. And to me, the toxic lie about self-care is that I'm taking care of myself in order to be a better version so I can serve others. Mm-hmm. I gotta take care of me so I can take care of the kids. I gotta take care of me so I can take care of this man. I gotta take care of me so I can take care of my coworkers and boss. No, you take care of you for you. Mm-hmm. Like, there, it's still that lie and that myth that the only reason why we get to take care of ourselves is if it is in service of somebody else. Mm-hmm. But my life is an end. It is not a means. So my healing, my joy, my happiness, my abundance, my wealth, my health, whatever it may be, is an end in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And it is for me. And then once my cup is full, who I choose to give overflow to, oof, that's my choice. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we're not going to be bad moms or bad people, nothing like that. But we love ourselves and we take care of ourselves because our life is an end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a toxic mindset out there that, like, well, I justify working on myself so I can show up better for other people. Yeah. That's still wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm working up on myself to show up for me.
Yeah.
For me. This is my life, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I do agree with just, they get to catch the overflow.
Exactly. You get the overflow, but I'm taking care of myself because I deserve to be happy. Mm-hmm. I deserve to be healthy. I deserve to be whole and healed. Yeah. And then from there, I also deserve to be loved and to be respected and to be seen and to be validated and all of those things. You know, I'm not put on this earth just to take care of other people.
Yeah.
I'm put on this earth to experience my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, that is beautiful. I love this so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah. This has been amazing, Dominique. This has been such a good conversation.
Thank you for having me. Are there any other, I feel like our conversation has gone in a lot of different directions, which is okay. Yeah. Like, I think that's beautiful. Are there any other questions that you have for me or things that I could shed more light on?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess just anything you want to share, really. Just anything that you feel that's coming up for you, or you feel called to share. Because I think, in general, our conversation is going to help so many people.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I think that one of the greatest things, and you touched on this earlier, one of the greatest things that I'm learning right now, and that many of us, we did not get taught this as children, like a lot of times we just don't learn this, is the importance of being able to emotionally regulate and being emotionally independent. Yeah. I'm going through this like Audible thing, although I'm a visual learner, so I have to like really listen because I need to usually see the things, but I've been like really on Audible lately, and I was listening to this book that was just talking about, I just lost my train of thought. So we
self-regulating our own emotions.
We have to learn to emotionally regulate. Yes, thank you so much. And a lot of times, you were talking about codependency. Like, I didn't even realize this for myself, but a lot of times we get, like, we get lost in someone else saving us or taking care of us or, like, being that person to hold space for us. Like, we seek things externally to fill us up internally. And I did that for a long time in relationships, my most recent relationships. And that puts a lot of pressure on your partner or other people. Even if, you know, it's not something, especially a partner, I would say, like, that person that's closest to you, that can be a lot of pressure on them to, like, mm-hmm. hold space for you and hold you up in that way. And so I've been learning about, like, the importance of being emotionally independent versus dependent on someone else. And, like, what does it look like for me to hold space for myself when I need that? And not that you always got to, like, be on the journey by yourself, but you should know how to resource yourself. Like, you shouldn't always need your therapist or your friend or your mom or your, you know, your dad, like, whomever your person or go-to people are. Like, we all have that, like, group of people where if I'm having a bad day, I know I can call X. It's like, it's great to have that. Like, we all can use that support. That is a part of the human experience, but you also have to know what it means to tap into your own reserve. And that is something over the last couple of years that I've really had to learn for myself in those moments where I want to, like, pick up the phone and have mm-hmm. someone else, like, tell me what I need to do or tell me the thing I want to hear. I'm like, let me just sit and, like, breathe, or, like, let me just sit and meditate and, like, calm myself down. Like, that's where that mind-body connection becomes so important. And I'm also learning the importance of emotional independence is one, and the importance of emotionally regulating. You talked earlier about how, like, there are feelings, right, that we oftentimes are conditioned to believe are bad. And so we don't want to feel sad or angry or, you know, any of those emotions because they get put into a bad box. But what if we just look at, I'm working on this myself, but, like, what if we just look at the emotions as emotions and we don't categorize some as good and categorize some as bad? Like, they're all just telling, they're communicating and they're indicators of where we need to work or, you know, what things need to be worked on. And so, like, I'm learning to hold space for my anger and not feel bad with myself when I get angry, right? Like, and not mm-hmm. turn that, like, that anger inward and it becomes self-hate or, like, judgment, you know, me criticizing myself. Like, I'm learning to be with the anger, but also, like, what does it look like for me to release the anger? Like, emotions are meant to be moved. And so a lot of times when we don't allow ourselves to feel angry or to feel sad and we just push through and we don't acknowledge when those emotions come up, they get suppressed, they get turned inward, they start to show up as guilt or shame, like all of these things. Yes. And it's like, but what would it look like if you just literally allowed yourself to hold space, right? Like, to literally hold space for those emotions and just give yourself a minute to regulate, like, give yourself a minute to come down from that. I think a lot of times we also think that we have to hold on to a lot of energy. And this is something that I'm working with my 6-year-old on. Start your day, like, having a shitty day, and then it goes into your work day or your school day. And, like, you just think, yep. Oh, this is a bad day. Like, I got to just be mad at everybody all day and, like, ruining everyone else's day. It's like, no, you get to let that go. Like, you don't have to hold on to those emotions, but we have to have tools and resources. And I think that's where having the importance of, like, the somatic practices or, you know, the things that you can turn to that are going to calm those triggers down. Knowing that for yourself is so important. Like, that's probably my biggest takeaway. You have to know what the triggers are, like, what things make you angry, what things are going to set you off. And then you got to have one or two things in the moment that you can go to turn, right, to turn those emotions down mm-hmm. and to regulate your emotions. And I think, like, for me, those two things have probably been, like, two of the hardest things that I've had to, like, learn and work on as an adult, because, like, my mom did not teach me how to do that as a child, right? Like, she's yeah. still working on that herself. And a lot of us, we don't get taught that. And so as adults, like, now, especially if you're a parent, you got to hold space for your kids' emotions. And then you got to hold space for your own emotions. Or if you're a partner, you got to hold space for theirs. And you got to hold space mm-hmm. for your own. And it's like, we got to, you know, like, we have to learn what works for us. And you can't just, like, push through and keep going. Like, you got to feel and then let it go. And you don't have to hold on to all of that.
Exactly. Like, I used to do, I used to just sort of, like, push it away. Like, if I was angry or if I was, like, say something happened, not even, like, big anger, just, like, irritated or, like, mm-hmm. frustrated about something, I would be like, oh, I released this. It's done. I released it, but I really hadn't. Yeah, I was more, like, trying to, like, deny it to get it out because I didn't want to feel it. And so I started just, like, whenever I would feel something, I would just sort of get really quiet and I would just put, like, a hand over my heart mm-hmm. and I would just breathe in and I would be like, you know what? That really pissed me off mm-hmm. and that's okay. I feel really angry right now and that's okay. Mm. You know what? That really frustrated with me and that's okay. Mm. It's okay. It's all okay. It's all okay. And then just sit with it and then it'll start to like lift. Yep. It'll start to feel different because all of our feelings and all of our emotions, it's just energy.
Yep.
And energy cannot be created and it cannot be destroyed. So just wishing it away won't work, but you can transmute it. You can transmute the energy into something else. Mm-hmm. So this energy that I had of being pissed off and angry and frustrated, well, I hold the space for it. And now it sort of dissolves and it sort of transmutes. You know, think of like an ice cube. Say like an ice cube represents like the anger. If you hold on to that ice cube long enough in love of just like, hey, you know what? This ice is really, really cold and that's okay. It's really, really cold. In enough time, it's going to become water.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to transmute to water.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to our emotions when you hold it in a loving space. But when you don't, it's still there because it's like, you talked about temper tantrums. It's like a little temper tantrum. It's like, I want you to pay attention to me. It's like your little kid, pay attention to me, pay attention to me. And until you actually pay attention to it and you see it, it's going to show up some other way. It's going to show up as popping off at your boss or rage or overeating at lunch or sleeping in or drinking too much or having sex with a person you shouldn't be having sex with or whatever the case may be. It's going to show up some way until you actually look at it head on and say, I see you, I hear you, and it is okay.
Mm. Yeah. I love that. That is what I want to leave everyone with. And I'm leaving that from a place of like, this is what I'm working on. Like, let's just do this all together.
Yeah. That's the thing. We're in it all together. Like, welcome to the soft life. Like, right. We just come and we just talk and we hang out and we just put it all out there. Because the thing is, when you just show up with the fullness of your humanity, it takes away any shame. It takes away any embarrassment. It takes the pressure away of like having to have it all figured out or to be perfect. No, we just come and we talk and we share and we kiki.
No, I totally agree. And I think there's also something beautiful in having that community because it makes you realize that you're not alone. Like oftentimes when we're going through things, whatever we're going through, like it can be so easy for your brain to convince you there's something wrong with you or like something's off, you know, and then you're like feeling bad and no one else is dealing with this. No one else is, you know, will understand. And there's so much shame, which is how I existed for so long. Mm-hmm. And just like you said, it's like, once you talk about it, whether it's in community or with your therapist or whomever, like once you let that energy out, it frees you. Like, it's so freeing to talk about it and to tell your story and to recognize, like, I don't have to stay stuck in this forever. But that takes courage. And that is often, like, extremely, extremely hard.
Yes. Oh, well, thank you so much, Dominice. This has been beautiful. My cup is full. And so my overflow is for all of you. So everything will be linked down below in the show notes in the description box. But do you want to tell us where can we connect with you and about your book?
Yeah. So my book, again, is called Hold Space to Heal. There are 7 somatic approaches that I give you all. So we've talked about a few of those today that are helpful for regulating the emotions and releasing stress and trauma. And so it's an overview of like a lot of what we've talked about today. Obviously, it goes a little bit deeper, but it really is about recognizing that we have the power to heal ourselves, right? Like oftentimes we want other people to do that for us. And that's what the book is. It's a resource for you to hold space for healing yourself. And so that's on Amazon. And outside of that, I am on Instagram, but I'm taking a break from Insta right now. But I do have an Instagram page, but Dominice R. Clifton on Instagram and LinkedIn. Those are, I would say, probably the other 2 places where I can be found.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dominice. And for everyone watching and listening, remember, if you need additional support, go ahead and grab one of our courses down below on self-love, manifestation, and lifestyle design. Also grab our free self-love guide. Shop the Soft Life collection, you guys. It's super cute. I designed it myself. So be sure to stop by and also rate, subscribe, and share. It really helps to grow the channel and grow the podcast and create a bigger community. And always feel free to reach out if you need additional support. Ready to unlock your true potential and manifest the life of your dreams? Then I've got something super special just for you. Our mind-blowing self-love and manifestation courses. Picture this, a journey of self-discovery where you'll find a deep well of self-love and acceptance. Say goodbye to self-doubt and hello to unshakable confidence. Our courses are designed to help you embrace your worthiness and tap into the incredible power of self-love. But that's not all. We'll also dive deep into the transformative world of manifestations, You'll learn proven tools and techniques and strategies to align your thoughts, beliefs, and actions with your wildest dreams. So get ready to create the success, happiness, love, and abundance that you deserve. So what are you waiting for? Head over to candywashington.com/courses to get started. Again, that's candywashington.com/courses.